Let us now read from Scripture in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 13, the verses 1 through 9. About that time, some people came up and told him about the Galileans Pilate had killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." Then he told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to his gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now I've come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let's give it another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. And if it doesn't, then chop it down." Here ends our scripture reading. May our lives be touched, changed and bettered through God's Spirit this very day. Some of you may have heard the story about a mother who heard the family cat yowl in great pain. So she knew exactly where to look. So directly from the kitchen she yelled, "Tommy, stop pulling that cat's tail." "I'm not pulling his tail, Mom. I'm just standing on it." "The cat is doing the pulling." Like us, you see. So we put the blame on the cat, or on the poor, or on the White House, or on anyone but ourselves. This is indeed an age of self-justification. Honest facing of facts and truth is often very difficult to find. The question that I've been wrestling with for some time, and I'm sure many of you have as well, is simply the question, now why do so many bad things happen to so many good people? All of us ask this question from time to time. Why is this happening? Poor soul, why did this have to happen to her? She would never hurt a fly. Long ago, some followers of Jesus actually asked the very same question. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate cruelly murdered some Galileans as human sacrifices. So the question came in those days, why? Were they greater sinners than the other Galileans? Why should they suffer so much? A tower collapsed in Siloam and crushed 18 bystanders. And the people asked, was it because of their sin? Was it? Brother, sister, Jesus repeatedly makes it clear that human tragedy is never, no, never God's punishment for sin. In Matthew 5, verse 45, Jesus said, "This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and nasty." This is a stated fact. God does not reward us according to our virtues or punish us for our transgressions. The only possible conclusion is that there are some things in this world that just happen. They just happen because of the physical laws that govern our world, govern the universe. Often, bad things happen to the best of people. Faithful believers die with painful cancer. Drunk drivers wipe out innocent families. Some things just happen. Somebody was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's a stated fact that some things in life you and I cannot control, try as we may. God doesn't send us the problem, but we believe that He gives us the strength to cope with the problem. Because we so desperately want to control our own lives. And because of that, many people have invented what we would call a superstition. There are many people who feel so lost in this world that they can't wait for a newspaper or magazine to come so that they consult a horoscope. Maybe they'll find an answer there. I don't know nowadays, but I've known people in the olden days who would carry around a rabbit's foot or hang a horseshoe in order to control or at least to know what their fate is going to be. I was looking for a definition. What is superstition? Superstition is an attempt to manipulate that part of your and my life that is beyond our personal control. Oh, how desperately many want to control that small area of life that is unknowable and uncontrollable. Maybe something good will happen to us. Maybe. Maybe if I do this or that, the bad will not come my way. And some human efforts, let's face it, actually border on the absurd. Reminded me of the story about the man who was panic-stricken on his first airplane flight. And he was in such a condition that the pilot later personally came to calm him down. And finally he asked, Tell me, man, are you a religious man? Oh, yes, the man replied. Well, don't you believe that when your time is up, you'll go and not until then? Yes, the man replied. Then what are you so nervous about? Well, I'm afraid your time will come before mine. Well, you and I know that we often think things in planes that we just cannot help. That's true. When we attempt to control our fate by the use of a charm or a ritual or trust in the fate of stars or whatever, Let's understand it clearly. I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just saying it's superstition. And you can be as superstitious as you like. It's not going to make this much difference in your life and in mine. Authentic faith in God is 180 degrees the opposite of being superstitious. Well, we think, well, I'm not really superstitious. That's not really how I am. We think, well, we are modern people. Obviously, we're not superstitious. Now, maybe if we think a bit deeper, take the time to think and maybe analyze some of our prayers, we may make another discovery. How often do we attempt to manipulate God in prayer? For instance, we want God to adjust the weather to our liking. We want to go sailing, Lord. Please don't let it rain. And the boss is angry at work. We want God to change our boss's attitude. And many people, before the lottery numbers come out, oh God, help me to win that lottery. We tend to advise God as to what we think is the best for us. Now, obviously, Jesus did not want people to struggle with this question about why bad things happen to good people. Jesus did not teach that. Jesus did teach another responsibility. He gave us another lesson. He gave us another challenge. He gave us the responsibility to make good things happen. Not only in our own lives, but in the lives of other people around us. Let us not concern ourselves with those things in life which we cannot control. Rather, we need to concern ourselves with those things which we can and should control. Some people sit around and speak sadly about what life has done to them, you know. Can't help it, life treated me really bad. Many people had days like that. Is it not time that we stand up and ask, what can I do about life? What can I do in the life of those whom I love? Those whom I care for so deeply. Those who I meet almost every day of my life. You know, many of us are gripped right now, I believe, in a feeling of helplessness about what's happening in the world. We've just lived through and are still living with the idea of the suffering of the citizens of Syria killed by their own government. And then came Egypt. We helplessly watch television. We see the blood, see the misery, we see the confusion, we see the pain. Goes beyond that. Do we still remember the starving masses of people in Africa? What a world we have. And what a world have many of us created for ourselves. Everywhere, horrible things seem to happen to good people. Who do we blame for that? Who do we point a finger to? Why is this happening? Well, in spite of our superstitions, We cannot answer the question why there is still hunger in the world. But we can do, and I believe that many of us are doing our part, to help see that at least some of the hungry somewhere in the world are fed. We cannot answer the question why healthy adults with families are struck down in midlife. But when we hear about it, we can be there to bring comfort and to supply material and to give emotional support. Try as we may, we cannot solve all the world's problems. But still, as Christians, we must do what we can. We all have our part to play in this world, in what's happening in this world. Often, we solemnly pray asking God, please God, would you solve the world's problems? Is that the right prayer? Shouldn't we rather listen to the voice of God asking you and me to do the same thing? To help solving the world's problems? You know, as Great Britain was fighting for its life during World War II, before America's entry in the war, Churchill wrote to President Roosevelt, send us the tools. Just send us the tools and we will do the job. Rather than praying for peace in the world, we need to pray that God would make us peacemakers. Rather than asking God for special favors, we need to pray that God would show us someone less fortunate than ourselves who actually need our assistance. You know, a sailor was leaning on the deck rail when his friend stuck up his head up through a nearby hatch and he cried, help, help, the ship is sinking. The shy sailor just shrugged. So what? It's not my ship. I'm certain that he soon afterwards learned that it was indeed his ship. We are all in this together. If the world goes up in flames, it is our world. We are accountable for what we contribute. And I think that's really, it all boils down to one question. When we look deep inside ourselves, our motives, our pocketbooks, is our religion, sincere Christian faith, or has it degenerated to mere superstition? Nothing else. More direct. Are you trying to use God, or is God trying to use you? There's a difference. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a tough question. I don't know the answer and you don't. But there is one even tougher. With so many people in this world claiming to be followers of Jesus, why is there still so much suffering? Could it be that it because many Christians, many of us, are still out searching for four-leaf clovers when we hear the challenge sometimes week after week from pulpits, from the radio, from Christians everywhere, rather than taking up our cross and follow Him? Am I using God or is God using me? Are you using God or is God using you? Many, many wonderful, great, life-changing deeds in our world began with one simple phrase. A phrase that I hope and pray that many of us would quietly pray deep with sincerity from our hearts this morning. Here I am, God. Here I am. Send me.